It is, once again, that most wonderful time of the day when the food mensch, Arthur Schwartz, graces us with his presence. Hello, Arthur Schwartz, food mensch. How are you?
I am okay, thank you. I did get my ire up earlier this week when I got email and an actual phone call from an old friend who listens to the podcast to tell me where I can get apples. Now, let me say, I live in the center of the world, Brooklyn. We can get everything here, even apples from the Hudson Valley, even. I was only complaining that I did not see Rome apples, and I still don't see Rome apples, and they're supposed to be harvested right now, so I think any minute. But anyway, I made my grandmother's applesauce. I went to the supermarket to buy apples, didn't know what I'd really find, but what I found was, for $6, a 4-pound bag of apples from a company in Milton, New York. That's Ulster County. It's right on the Hudson River. It's prime apple-growing territory. And I just stumbled over this because they had a big display of all different varieties, including the Macintosh that I was looking for. They were beautiful, as I could see through the plastic bag. Ends up, it's a company called the Hudson Valley Apple Company, and it's owned by a family called Albinder, A-L-B-I-N-D-E-R. They don't have their whole family history on the bag itself. They have a little family history. It's not clear, actually, what the whole deal is. So I looked it up, and they do have a wonderful website, and they are indeed the fourth generation to be harvesting apples in the Hudson Valley and distributing. It's a distribution company, their company. But they own vineyards. They own orchards, and they buy from other growers. I must say, my 4 pounds of very evenly sized Macintosh apples, every one of them was a beauty. I mean, very often when you buy these bags full of apples, you got to have one rotten apple in there. But no, they were all a beauty. I only needed 3 pounds to make my grandmother's applesauce. But the essential ingredient there are prunes. The Italian plum prune variety, which used to be available at least the last couple weeks of September into October, but I have only had them once in all that time. I was seen them in the store once, and we ate them. I didn't hold them back to make applesauce at that time. So I don't know. What I decided to do was, since plums, once they are dried, are called prunes, I thought maybe adding a few prunes to my Macintosh apples would give me the same result that my grandmother got by adding a pound of those Freestone Italian prune plums. Well, didn't work out quite that way. I must say you can taste that there are prunes in this applesauce, but I didn't overwhelm it. For 3 pounds of apples, I used 4 ounces of pitted prunes. Nowadays, they come very nicely packed in a Ziploc bag, so you can use part of it without drying out the rest. 4 ounces might even have been a little bit too much. Maybe 3 ounces even would do the trick. The trick is you don't want the applesauce to be brown. That's at least in my opinion. With fresh prune plums, you get a beautiful ruby color. With the prunes, I got a darker but very pleasant color, a little purpley. I liked it. And I must say the applesauce is delicious, and it does have the texture that my grandmother's had, which is what I'm always missing in commercial applesauce. And that's a very creamy texture. And I'll tell you, the creamy texture comes from cooking the apples with the skin on, which is where most of the pectin is, near the skin, or the skin, and the skin contributes some color too. I must say mine was sort of pinky and white. I didn't give the apples a chance to oxidize. I washed them, I cored them with my corer, cut them into quarters, put them in a big pot with literally 2 tablespoons of water just to get the thing started, and my 4 ounces of prunes, which I would cut back to 3, and that's it. And it only took, you know, on, I would say, medium heat, about 10 minutes, maybe 15. I wasn't actually timing it, for the whole pot to become a big pot of mush, of apple mush. And that's it. I let it cool a little bit, and then I pushed it through my grandmother's china cap, in French, a chinois. But it's if you went out to buy a china cap these days, you'd end up with a fine sieve in a conical shape. Mine is not. Mine is more like little holes in an aluminum cone, and it has a wooden pestle to push it all through. And that takes a little bit of effort, but not a whole lot. I don't want the apples to cook very long. If you do, by the way, if you do want to make a thicker applesauce, more like apple butter, then you can cook it down a bit. Maybe you could even add a little sugar if you like. I did not add any sugar. I felt the prunes sweetened it up just enough. It's not sweet. It's a little bit tart. And by the way, prunes also have a lot of pectin and help make a very, I would say, creamy, thick texture. So let's talk a minute about prunes. I know that the image of prunes is like old people food. It's a laxative, prune juice. You know, I don't get it, because even when I was a boy, I loved prune juice, and I still love prunes. Now, I hear, even this morning, that people were forced to eat prunes when they were kids. God knows why. So they're averse to prunes. But let's flash forward to, I guess it was the late 1990s, I get a phone call from a PR, a public relations woman I knew, who worked for a big company called Ketchum Public Relations, still exists. I'm not sure they call themselves public relations anymore. I think they call themselves communication consultants. Well, they were consulting at that time with the California Prune Board. Now, what is the California Prune Board? Well, in America, everybody should know this, agricultural groups like, you know, the apricot growers, the plum growers, the apple growers, the dairy industry, who do you think pays for all those drink milk ads? It's something called a marketing board. And the government allows these groups to tax themselves to help promote their products. So there is a thing called the California Prune Board, although in 2001, they changed the name to the California Dried Plum Board. A little bit of a mouthful there. Anyway, I get a call from this friend who worked for Ketchum in San Francisco, and she said, what do you think of this idea of us changing the name from prunes to dried plums? And I said, well, I think it's silly. I mean, everybody knows what a prune is. They either like them or they don't like them. I'm not sure that changing the name to dried plums is going to improve their image of the product. Well, you know, what do I know? They changed the name in 2001. The California Prune Board became the California Dried Plum Board. But you know, I was right. The thing has never caught on. Now, I do see packages with dried plums even today, but the thing never caught on. On the other hand, flash forward a few years. So that was in 2001 when they actually changed it. I was still working at WOR, and I had a young producer who was a vegetarian, and that was nothing unusual, actually. This is before everybody became vegan. Anyway, not everybody. Some people became vegan. Anyway, we're going into the studio, me and the producer, and she's eating prunes. I said, oh, how nice, you're eating prunes. She said, they're not prunes, they're dried plums. I said, well, you know, it's the same thing, a prune. And by the way, she was an educated woman. A dried plum is the same thing as a prune. She said, well, you know, if they were selling them as prunes, I probably wouldn't have bought them. So there you go. A 20-something responded to that change of name to dried plums. Prunes she would never have gotten because prunes were, as the California Prune Board knew, were associated with old people and laxative. So an unpleasant association. So if you want to look, this is interesting, I think. There is a town in southwest France called, I always said Agen, but it's not Agen, it's pronounced Agen, A-G-E-N, Agen. So Agen is famous for its prunes. And I have actually been to Agen, and I have actually bought prunes there and eaten prunes there. And they have a lot of dishes that include prunes. But I think, if I remember, I just bought a bag of prunes, and we ate them in the car. Those were not pitted, by the way. They were unpitted. Ends up, the California prune industry grows the same variety of prune that they grow in Agen. Now, I have to say, I don't recall. I knew these prunes were supposed to be exceptional because of where they grew and the variety that they were. But I don't remember them being any different, to be honest, than my store brand prunes from my supermarket, which I just bought yesterday. The way they pack them today, they're extremely moist. I think they're almost like candy. I don't know why you wouldn't like a prune. And they are high in pectin, which is, in fact, a form of fiber. So they are a high fiber food for those of us who would like to keep regular. And there are so many other high-fiber foods to eat these days. I mean, not these days, always, but that you don't have to depend on prunes. If you really have that problem, beans, I have to say, I think are a better solution than sugary prunes. And then there's, of course, various whole grains that provide a lot of fiber, too. So that's the story there. So my applesauce is, as we speak, chilling in the refrigerator, and I'm hoping it's going to get a really good gel. I have to say, right now, even warm, it was quite creamy and thick. I like that. So there we are. And I have a nice piece of pork tenderloin to cook. And Mr. Harned, Bob, always likes applesauce with his pork. So I make pork sort of salty, too. So the sweet applesauce with the salty, not spicy, but herbal salty pork is a good combination, as always.
How does Mr. Harned feel about prunes?
He likes prunes.
Okay, so he likes the applesauce with the prunes in
them. I don't know why anybody doesn't like prunes. I think anybody who doesn't like prunes hasn't had a prune lately.
Okay, well.
I mean, really.
That includes me.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah. Be open-minded.
Or dried plums. I'm not so much. Dried apricots, yes.
Well, I must say dried apricots are better than fresh apricots. I haven't had a good fresh apricot in decades. And it probably wasn't in the U.S. either. But plums, you can get great plums. This time of the year, there are a lot of good plums out there. The prune plums that I was looking for.
Yeah. A fair question to ask is, do you like plums, Jill? And the answer is, love them. There's nothing like
that. Yeah, I love plums. Look, I've never met a fruit I didn't like. So, really. And here's one. This is a new fruit. I don't really know how new it is, but they're called Tomcod, T-H-O-M, as in Thompson seedless grapes, cord as in Concord grapes. And they're small, very dark purple, blue-purple grapes. And they were very, I mean, I picked them up because I tasted one and it was real. I immediately thought it was a Concord grape, except it doesn't have seeds. And Concords are full of seeds, which is why we make jelly with them. You know, you strain out the seeds. So if you like the grape taste of grape jelly, you're going to love these fresh grapes. They're small. The skin is, I guess you could say it's chewy. It doesn't bother me in the least. I mean, chewy grape skin isn't as chewy as a chewy steak, and I chew those too. So I don't mind chewing. You know, Americans don't like to chew. This is my own observation. They don't really prefer chewy things when they can eat. Tender to an American is everything, which is why we like to eat filet mignon. It's the most tender, but after all, least flavorful cut of beef. Anyway, where were we? Oh, these grapes. So they had these in the supermarket. I couldn't believe it. A sizable box was a dollar. It's like they can't get rid of them. So I don't know. Nobody knows what they are. I ventured to buy one for a dollar. You know, what can I lose? And I've decided they're really one of the best grapes because they're sweet and a little bit tart. I mean, they have a good balance, I think. And they taste like Concord grapes, which is a flavor I really like, but I don't like all those seeds. And by the way, my farmer's market has a lot of local varieties of grapes right now. Time for grapes. I'm sure that in the northwest corner and the Hudson Valley, there are plenty of local grapes. Got to say, the local apples at my green market, at my farmer's market, were twice the price of the apples that I bought, the Hudson Valley apples that I bought at the supermarket. Now, I don't know, you know, do you know about Key Food? Key Food is a not a chain of supermarkets. It's a buying cooperative. And they're rebranding Key Food into neighborhood stores. So I shop at one former Key Food that is now called the Windsor Market. And I shop at another Key Food that's called the Flatbush Market. And there are a couple of other Key Foods that have rebranded themselves. And I have to say, the produce in these markets is unbelievably inexpensive, and if you're a good shopper, pretty good. I mean, the apples were great, but I bought for a dollar a box blackberries. Who ever heard of blackberries for only a dollar? It's a half pint, but still, usually like $4 at the least. So these markets, and they have their own brand. In fact, the prunes that I bought are the local the brand. They don't call it Key Food anymore. They call it Urban Meadow. I don't know how that flies with people. I guess they're just trying to get away from the low-class image of Key Food. Not that I ever thought my Key Food was low-class. In fact, well, maybe you would say when I first moved here almost 3 decades ago, my Key Food, that is now the Flatbush Market, it catered to little old black ladies who cooked things like pig's ears and trotters, of course, and other odd pieces of flesh. And they not only sold these things, but they gave you a discount if you were a senior. So it was very, very friendly to the elderly black women who were in the neighborhood. It's not like that anymore at all. I'm not sure there are any elderly black women in the neighborhood. They're young, but not elderly. So, and they're not cooking pig's tails, so or even pickling them, for that matter. Anyway, so that's an interesting thing that's happening here in Brooklyn, is that not only has the borough become gentrified almost in every direction, but the supermarkets are changing their name to appeal to the new gentrified population. And changing, I have to say, what they should have changed, which is, the first thing I always look in a market is the produce, what condition it's in, how much it costs, and only at the last do I look at meat and poultry. I like to know what poultry they're selling, but I sort of don't trust supermarket meat much, so we rarely eat supermarket meat, except for maybe some chopped meat, and actually we're not eating that much meat anymore, which is probably a good thing. And what are you guys cooking this week?
I am always interested, this is a minor digression, but it seems a lot of people don't, and we've talked about this before, it has to do with produce, but it also has to do with people who don't know what's in season when. Even if you can get something all the time.
You're right. And the fact is, it's hard to know when a season is anymore because we can get almost everything almost all the time. But one of my indicators, I mean, if I didn't know anything, but I do know a lot, is the price. When you see asparagus for $6 a bunch, it's not in season. When it gets down to $3, it could be fairly local. But you have to know, I mean, asparagus is one of those things that has lost its season because we bring in asparagus from Peru in the winter, Peru, and then Mexico, and finally in the spring you'll get some California, I guess, and then local asparagus don't come up until May or June. So, you know, if you only want to eat local, then you can tell what's growing by looking in your backyard. And if you live where you live, almost nothing is growing from November until April, even May. So, I don't know. It's very hard. Look, I try to explain this to Bob because he, in the middle of the summer, he was getting disappointing grapes. I said, but, you know, it's not grape season. I mean, yeah, we're getting grapes from somewhere, but it's not like the good grapes, which we're going to not get until the fall. And, of course, as soon as October turned around here, we were getting great grapes because that's the season. But if you don't know the season, you know what? It's easy enough to look up. That's how what I did with the Rome apples. I mean, I discovered that Rome apples really aren't in season until right now. But right now I haven't seen any yet. And I'm still waiting for that. Bob wanted to know why I didn't take these Macs and make baked apples with them. And the reason is they're not good for baking. And they basically turn to altogether mush. That's why they're good for applesauce, because you want mush. But, yeah, it's hard to know when things are in season, but you can tell by the price. If it's a crazy price, it's probably from some distant land where part of the price is even the transport, you know. Right now, everything is season locally. I mean, you can still get a tomato, still get a good eggplant. I bought wonderful zucchini the other day. Zucchini, I find, are best in the beginning of the season and at the end of the season. But now we're eating zucchini again after a hiatus. So that's how you can tell. And as I said, you can look it up. People Google everything. I might as well Google that, too. Okay?
Okay.
Okay.
As
everybody,
I said
have
earlier,
a great week.
It is always fun with the food, man.
Enjoy the season.
Enjoy the. And love to Bob, and we will talk to the Food Mensch on Columbus Day. And thank you very much, Arthur Schwartz, the Food Mensch, on Robin Hood Radio.